Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege of gathering together and the desire to worship you, to study your word more, to take time to pray together, and to sing praises to your name. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have connected with us on Zoom, especially Abby and Rolando as they're traveling down in the States. And Lord, I pray that you keep them safe in their travels. I pray as they drive home that you'll give them safety as well. I pray, Father, that you would give all those who are walking outside safety, as it's very slippery. And so, Lord, we look forward to your word tonight and ask that you would just work in our hearts what's needed in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll follow that with Hebrews chapter 11. So just a couple verses in each chapter there. Hebrews 4, verse 1, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. And of course, this passage is pointing us back to the Jews back in Egypt, and then as they left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness, and as they came to the promised land of Canaan and were about to enter into it, therefore they just decided they were not going to trust God, and so they drew back. And so here the apostle who is writing this letter, Hebrews, is reminding us, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith. And the exhortation to us today is to make sure that when we hear the good news, that we believe it, unite it with faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, as well as verse 6. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Then skip to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Have you ever played with dominoes? All right. Obviously, there's only three of us in this room, so I'm assuming you've all played with dominoes. And those of you who are connected with us on Zoom, I'm trusting you know what I'm talking about when I say dominoes. I'm not talking about the game of dominoes necessarily. I'm talking about setting up the dominoes in a long line in such a way that when you knock the first one into the next one, the falling of the next one into the next one goes on and on in order until all the dominoes have fallen down. How many have ever done that? Okay, yes. I used to do that as a kid, and I would have snaking, twisting, lines, and it was so cool to watch them all. And then sometimes I'd have a fork in it so that it would, knock, two down at once, and they'd go off into their different forks. And yeah, and I've seen on TV some amazing, complicated domino setups. And so I think you know what I'm talking about. It really is it's such a cool thing to watch that it gave rise to the well-known phrase domino effect. And that means one event triggers another event, which in turn triggers another event, and so forth down the line until it runs out of any further dominoes, so to speak. So we can readily see the domino effect in the chemical realm in the chain reaction of eggs cooking. And if you think that is kind of weird, well, look up the chain reaction, chemical reaction of eggs cooking. It's fascinating. I won't bore you with it. Okay. Or in the physical realm, like in a car crash pileup, when one car smashes into a second car, which sends it crashing into a third car, and so forth. Or in the medical realm, when chronic lack of sleep weakens your immune system to the point that you get the flu, which further weakens your immune system so that you succumb to a more serious disease. The same domino effect can happen in the spiritual realm in the life of a Christian. Your failure to spend time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word on a daily basis leads to spiritual weakness, which opens you up to giving in to some temptation, which leads to succumbing to further temptations until you are eventually controlled by a life-dominating sin. You're probably familiar with that example, as you perhaps have seen it play out in your life or the life of another believer. But I'd like to bring your attention briefly to a much more subtle domino effect in the spiritual realm that may be happening in your life currently. Let's call it the trust domino effect. Or maybe a more accurate term would be the failure to trust domino effect. So if I refer to the FTT, you know it's failure to trust domino effect. Let's examine the dominoes in this failure to trust domino effect. The first domino that starts this chain reaction is the failure to trust what the Bible says, especially about God and His will for your life. You may pay lip service to Christ's statement that the Bible is truth. In John chapter 17:17, we read, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Christ said it." It's in red ink if you have the red letter edition of the New Testament. So you may pay lip service to Christ's statement. You may say, "Oh, sure, I agree." However, how you respond to God's word reveals whether or not you truly trust it to be true and applicable to your own life and situation. It's one thing to just acknowledge something as true. It's another thing if it has an effect in your own life and your own thinking and your own view. You may agree intellectually to what the Bible says about God, but does it affect how you view Him personally and how you respond to what He asks of you? The Bible reveals several important truths about God's character and person. God is good. Would you agree? Absolutely. And God is love. Would you agree? Absolutely. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." Psalm 119, verse 68, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." God is holy. Would you agree? He's righteous. Would you agree? He's just. Would you agree? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." God is saying this. Genesis 18:25, the last part of the verse says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" And Psalm 7, verse 11, "God is a righteous judge." God is all wise. Would you agree? Good. All powerful? Yep. Okay, we have terms for that. Omniscience and omnipotence. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, "For God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Revelation 19:6. "Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." It's interesting, just those two words, Almighty reigns. He's all powerful and He is sovereign. These important truths about God's character and person enable us to love him, trust his promises, and obey his commands joyfully and confidently. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, as I said a little while ago, you may agree intellectually with what the Bible says about God, but does it affect how you view him personally and how you respond to what he asks of you? Let me illustrate this for you by sharing my personal testimony. Most of you know that I was an MK, short for missionary kid. My parents were missionaries first in Chile, South America. Then, when I was 8 years old, our family moved to Kenya, East Africa, where Dad carried out village evangelism and established churches on the weekends and trained pastors in the Bible school in Mwingi during the week. Mwingi was the main town near our mission station at our mission hospital and the Bible school that was next to the hospital. Mwingi means much or many. After my parents' year-long furlough in New Jersey, they dropped me off at Bob Jones Academy for my 10th grade year. I graduated a semester early and went on to the university for my bachelor's degree. I sensed the Lord calling me to preach and possibly calling me to missions, but I fought against it for a while. Why? Hear me. Because I accepted intellectually the truths about God's character and person, but I failed to internalize these truths as applicable to me personally and currently. I failed to trust God that He would enable me to preach His word. You see, I was shy, and I hated speech class. I didn't want to do anything that required public speaking. And I failed to trust God that He would use me as His instrument of righteousness to speak to the hearts of the listeners. I failed to trust God that He would supply my needs. I failed to trust God that He would fill me with His joy and peace. I listened to my flesh telling me that serving the Lord would sentence me to a dreary, harsh existence. The Lord Jesus exposed this kind of false view of God in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. In fact, why don't you turn there, Matthew 25. You could read the whole parable. I'm going to just cut to the chase, verse 24 and 25. Just to summarize, Jesus telling about the servants who were given a talent and they were told to use it wisely and bring in a return, a profit. And in after he dealt with I guess a couple of the servants, he comes to verse 24 where Jesus says this, and the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Now, what was the opinion of this servant of his master? He says, You're a hard man, and I don't trust you. And so he did not gain any profit from that one talent. Apparently, this is a talent where one servant got 10, another servant got 5, and this one got 1. So it's interesting that the master knew this servant apparently and didn't trust him with more than one talent. But even that came to light that he couldn't be trusted with it. So he did not trust his master. I'm so thankful that God did not give up on me and that he slowly but surely brought me to understand his heart of love and his goodness. I hate to think what my life would have been if I had continued to listen to my flesh instead of to the Lord. So the first domino that starts this chain reaction, the FTT reaction, is the failure to truly trust what the Bible says, especially about God. You can see why Satan fights so hard to bring the Bible into disrepute, how he tries to tear down its authority and its perfection. You agree with these truths intellectually about what the Bible says about God, but you fail to internalize them to the point that they affect your view of God, your worldview, and therefore your choices and decisions. The second domino that falls in this chain reaction is fear of following God's will for your life. Just like that servant in that parable, he was afraid. Fear is never the right reaction for a believer, never. Only the fear of God, and that's a different kind of fear, that's a reverential fear. So whenever you're afraid, you need to get back in a right relationship with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord very well, you will find it hard to trust him or trust his promises or trust his plan. You will find yourself depending on your own understanding, your own way of looking at circumstances, and your own solutions to your situation. Do you see why God exhorts us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight or level. King James translates it, he will direct your paths. All of that's included there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. The third domino that falls in this chain reaction of failure to trust is making wrong choices that often have lifelong and even eternal repercussions, not only in your own life, but also in the lives of your children. If I had not trusted the Lord and followed his will for my life, I would not have experienced the joy of marriage to my wonderful Brenda, the birth of our four children, the spiritual birth of all the individuals that the Lord has enabled Brenda and me to lead to Christ, and the peace and joy I continue to experience in my journey down the road of cancer. I can laugh at cancer. I truly can, because I'm in the Lord's hands. Whatever he wants to do is fine. Heal me or not heal me. So we've examined the first three dominoes in a failure to trust chain reaction. And you can see the long line of fallen dominoes that result in the wrong direction in life and the eventual spiritual, relational, and even physical consequences you would experience. But I don't want to leave you depressed here. I want to encourage you to instead set in motion the trust and obey line of dominoes. The first domino in this trust and obey domino line is the domino of trusting God's word fully and completely. This leads to triggering the second domino, which is trusting God to be who he says he is, internalizing the truths of his word and responding to him with love and obedience. Remember Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. The King James Version reads, we love him because he first loved us. The point is, we are even able to love that way because God first loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. By the way, this verse is one that I especially ask those whom I'm counseling who are having trouble trusting God in making their choices in life. I ask them to memorize this verse, especially the last part that says, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." You see, if we don't trust the Lord, we don't know him, we think that God's going to keep back from us good things. But that's just Satan's and the flesh's blasphemy of God's character. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This leads to triggering the third domino, which is making godly, biblical decisions in every area of your life for his glory. And you can see that this third domino is third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and 59th, and all the rest. Because you have decisions you make all the time, every day. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I pray that the lesson of the domino effect, when applied to spiritual things, will help you to examine your own heart and life to see whether you are tipping over dominoes in the failure to trust line or in the trust and obey line. Would you bow your head and close your eyes so that you can let the Lord speak to your heart without distractions? What domino line have you been tipping over lately? Have you only paid lip service to the truths about God's character and person and will for your life? Have you only given intellectual assent to his goodness, his love, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice? Or have these character qualities of God truly affected your heart and your will as well as your head? Just check your choices, your decisions, your goals, your priorities. These will reveal to you, if you're being honest, what domino line you have been setting in motion. If in your heart you're saying, "Oh, if I follow God's will here, then I won't be able to have or do or be," then you're in the wrong domino line. But if you remember that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, that all things work together for good to those who love God, then you can make your decisions based on God's character of goodness, of love, of wisdom, of power. And you will desire to glorify God in your choices. The Lord is showing you that you need to abandon the failure to trust domino line and start the trust and obey domino line. Will you confess your failure to trust him and ask for his grace, his enablement, to trust him fully and completely from this moment on? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work in every heart who is listening to this message. Father, I pray that if there are those listening who would honestly admit that they have not been trusting you, they've been paying lip service, intellectual assent to the truths about your character and your person and your will, but they haven't truly trusted you. They've held back from following your will. because they're afraid that somehow they'll miss out on something good. Lord, I pray that they will recognize the error of this thinking, the deceitfulness of this thinking, that their flesh is deceiving them. Lord, I pray that they would recognize that, confess it, and turn to you and ask for your grace and commit themselves to learn more about you, to draw closer to you in prayer and in study of your word, and believe what they read in your word about you. I pray, Father, that this would affect their choices and that they would glorify you in everything they do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.